The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Timothy. Happy all could be here. Hear God's word, receive his gifts, especially as we consider today as we're celebrating Holy Communion, receiving the Lord's Supper, the bread and wine, his body and blood. I mentioned it before, but just a reminder that we're trying to bring back our normal practice of receiving the supper by coming to the altar and kneeling. We're still going to try to keep it pretty social distance, so it might take us a minute or two to get through it, but just want to try to get us back into those habits and remember how we used to do it, right? It's been a while since we've been able to do that. So, any concerns or questions, let me know after service. But that's how we're going to do the Lord's Supper today. Today is it the ninth Sunday after Pentecost? Ninth Sunday after Pentecost. We're in the season of the church. The Spirit lives in his church, and growing his word and reading definitely shows us how we are, as the church, growing his word, and in that growth of his word, we manifest and live that out in our various vocations and responsibilities. So it's a great time to hear Christ's word and to receive his gifts. I'll have an announcement for our communion hymns. The first hymn is going to be off, so we might just do the second two, not the first one, because it's not actually in the hymnal under 975. It's 697. So we'll probably just end up doing the two second hymns. Second hymn and the third hymn. Kathy, is that cool? We're going to do the second and the third. All right. A little housekeeping there, but let's begin by singing our first hymn on our first.
Thank you.
name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may fly to your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We sing. Faith and give us courage to believe that in your love you will rescue us from all adversities. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for our readings. Our psalm for today comes from Psalm 136, and we read responsively. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For a steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for a steadfast love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who by understanding made the heavens, for for his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever.
The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. We sing.
The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 to 17. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast on the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast on the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my vow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the vow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the vow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle for today is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is in the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. While he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was going against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched, it were made well. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
We sing our hymn on our hymn, "Be Still My Soul." Please be seated.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus, amen. So I never really grew up with a lot of experience on the water. Especially, in Colorado, you're a mile up, so there's not a whole lot of water there. Unless you go to the mountains and do the rapids, I suppose. But I never was really into the boats and water sports growing up. But I have been out on a lake, on a boat, and the few times I've been out on the water, I know how calm and peaceful it can be on a nice summer night, where there's no waves or waves going around, and it's not disrupting the boat. But especially in the middle of the night, when the water is calm and you just sit there, perhaps with family or friends, and enjoying the night sky. When you're just in the middle of a lake, soaking it up in the quiet, calm evening, the stars and moon are clearly above, and sometimes it's like they're clearly below you. And if you're with the people that matter and are most important, you can really soak it up and really enjoy the things around you, the creation itself, God's world, and really be, in one sense, overwhelmed by it, but also bask in its beauty. For me, there's a particular feeling that comes over me. It's not the same feeling I get when I'm sitting in the middle of a gorgeous day, maybe on the patio, and just enjoying the sun and enjoying the day that way. It's not that kind of feeling, even though in some sense it's similar, because you're just enjoying the view around you. And it's not that feeling after a long, hard working day, and you are tired, and you cozy up in your bed at night, and you feel the comfort of the sheets. It's not that feeling either. But it's something somewhat similar, where I'm totally at peace, taking in the beauty of the creation of God's world, of the stars and the moon, not wanting to miss the opportunity by disrupting it with words or leaving. Yet, in another instance, I'm totally aware how vulnerable I can be out in the middle of a lake. I am still out in the open, and anything could happen. Anyone could be out there. It's that space of total euphoria and near fear for what's around that overcomes me. Maybe you have a similar feeling, sitting in a wide open space in an area that maybe is unfamiliar, out alone in the darkness of the sea, even though it's calm. And it doesn't take much, if you are in that state, to startle you, especially when it's peace and quiet and you think you're the only one around. But then maybe a loud water bubble in the distance, or an animal or a fish breaking the silence, or someone on the shore shooting off a firework. It's startling. And sometimes, in that state, your mind can play tricks on you, and you either hear or see something that was not actually there. But at times when you think you're completely alone and things are right in the world, and then the sudden realization that there are other things out there on the water. Now the disciples, they know the experience of having something unexpected occur on the water. But for them, the disciples were actually struggling against the wind and the storm on the sea as they were working their way to get to Bethsaida, where Jesus was not with them. He was on the land, a place that was safe. They weren't enjoying the nice cool evening of the water or the nice night sky, but they were at work, and it's the dead of night. The fourth watch is about 3 to 6 in the morning, so it's the dead of night, and the mind might even play tricks on you if you're that exhausted and if you're out on the sea. Jesus had already instructed them to go ahead because he was going out to pray, but while they're in the middle of the water, Jesus notices they were struggling, and so he goes out to them, and he walks on the water. In the distance, they see what appears to be a ghost or some sort of supernatural event or some spiritual being out on the water. And they realized they weren't alone. They were scared out of their britches, right? I know many of you probably living in this area, I'm sure, have heard those legends and folklore that can either be from the sailors or seafarers out along the docks. And there are some stories of folklore that can either be pleasant, but often it seems they always have the tale or the story of the dangers on the ocean, out on the sea. The weird, the strange, the mysterious occurrences out on the water. And it shouldn't be a surprise for us then to hear that these tales aren't something new. They're not something just in the modern day or even a couple hundred years ago, but actually in the ancient world, the sea was always seen as a place of mystery, a place of superstition, a place of chaos, of destruction, and death. And above all, it was the place of evil spirit activity. If you were to research the religions of the area during those ancient times, you'll find that many of the gods that were attributed to the religions, the gods of evil, the gods of death, the gods of fear, or whatever, were always the gods of the sea. In the region of Palestine, especially, whatever god was associated with the sea was associated with the god of death, similar to Hades or hell. And it's because the sea is unpredictable, and it is the lack of respect for the water that assured death for those on it. And so that's the mindset of that region. And even in the scriptures, that's what we see. The sea and water is the destructive force that God uses. Our reading from Genesis, Noah and the flood and the end of that, is literally the example of water destroying, killing, and causing mass chaos. The Lord sends a great flood to destroy the earth, and Noah and his family and the animals are brought on the ark to safely pass through it. It's an Exodus when the Israelites, they come to the Red Sea after they fled Egypt. They were let go, and they cry out as the Egyptian army forces are coming in on them. They cry out as they reach the Red Sea that they have been sent out here to die along the shore. But in that story, God parts the sea and even gives them passage through, and it's the Egyptian army that is destroyed by the sea. Even the story of Jonah running away from God, in his call on him to go to Nineveh, he takes a boat to go across the Great Sea, across the Mediterranean to flee. And in that moment, there's a huge storm, and the sailors and all the experienced workers on the sea are frightened for their lives and pray to their gods until Jonah is figured out to be the culprit. And so they give Jonah up to the sea so that they might be able to pass through. And Jonah is thrown into the ocean to certain death, until he's picked up by a large fish commissioned by the Lord to take him and care for him and bring him back to shore after 3 days. Even in the scriptures, the sea, the ocean, the water, it's the domain of chaos and death, a force that is opposed to God's purposes. There's no conquering or controlling the sea because there's no conquering or controlling death. Now, we may not be in the water, but I know life itself is not so different from the floods and seas we face. Just as much as the sea demands our respect, life itself, for us, offers the same chaos and lack of control. Perhaps you can look around and find yourself pleased by your own circumstances and the way of life, and enjoying and basking in the order that you get to be a part of. But soon you can realize the trouble going on in our nation, the divisions amongst people, groups, or even the reality that hits us aside the head that you are not in control and you're not actually the captain of your own fate. There's people in our neighborhood that changed the culture we grew up accustomed to. The government may dictate your life and force you to do things you don't want. The economy seeks more money from you, and disease and illness can strike us at the most inconvenient times. Certainly death creeps up to disturb the peace in your life. What may once seem so calm and peaceful and assured, what once seemed to be under your control, is no longer the case. Because the floods come. And you realize maybe you're not alone out here. It was true of the disciples. They weren't alone out on the water, and they perceived in the night, in the dead of night, a ghost, an evil spirit, a spiritual being, perhaps the spirit of death himself. And they cried out. They saw something on the sea. They were terrified. It could be anyone or anything, but on the water, they know it could not be anything good. But then there was the word that they heard, and that assured themselves and assured them that their fear was, well, unwarranted. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Of course, it was Jesus, and he was walking on the water. And we shouldn't miss that, the significance there, or the symbolism. A miracle? Sure, absolutely. Who walks on water? No man can do that. But the disciples' astonishment is not merely for the fact that he's on water, but the deeper truth that is even more astounding in who Jesus is. This is the Jesus who gives, who makes a path, who paved a road in the sea, on the water. Jesus is no less than the Lord God, ruler and creator of all creation. Jesus walking on the water brings a literal expression of the depiction of the all-powerful God who is master of his creation. Jesus is even master over death and chaos, and he walks over death and over chaos. The disciples experience the Lord Jesus in flesh, who comes to his frightened followers in a physical way, and he joins them on the boat, like a shepherd coming for his frightened sheep. It's this Jesus who comes to you in the midst of the sea, in the midst of the chaos and the floods that overwhelm our lives. Because Jesus Christ is Lord and everything is under his control. I know your world may be in chaos, and you do not see a way out that is clear. You see someone out on the water, perhaps, that frightens and scares you. You realize the flood is overwhelming and maybe you're sinking. But that's the tension we live in, Jesus Christ as his followers. Much like the boat out at sea, in one instance it's calm and peaceful. Life is working out in the way it should go. But in a second, the waters can start filling the boat. The winds can wreck the mast, or you realize and find out that you're not alone. And there are other things at work that you have no control over. But there's the other side that Jesus speaks. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Yes, you're not alone on the sea, but Jesus the Christ is with you. He has prepared a path. He gives you a way in the water. It is a road in the sea. Because Jesus Christ brings you under his lordship, under his reign, under his grace to care for you, so that the sea, the chaos, and even death will not consume you or drown you. For Jesus Christ prepared the way for you by going to the cross, and it is through the cross that you are brought to eternal life in him. The reality is there is no escaping the sea of the world we live. There's no escaping the sea of the world alive. You will face the pain, the chaos, and the suffering that comes with life. Yet you are in the safest of places because in the boat with you is Jesus Christ, who walks on the water, on death, and overcomes it. And baptism is that perfect picture of who you are. For just as water brings about death and destruction, that same water Jesus walked on, that same death Jesus took and went through, brings about new life and a relationship in him for you. You are bound to your Lord, the Lord of creation, who treads the water, who walks over death. So now you walk the walk. You walk over the path Christ has prepared for you, knowing that who you are rests securely in the shepherd who comes to his sheep. Take heart. It is Jesus Christ, the Lord and ruler of creation, who brings you out of the water, and now you go and courageously face the road ahead. The sea laid before you. So show patience and trust that the Lord is in control and that he will bring you through and that he's already brought you through. Extend your hand and share in the burdens of your brothers and sisters. Take care of the responsibilities the Lord has laid before you. And take heart, for Jesus is Lord and you belong to him. And you will inherit life everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen. We continue on page 8 of our worship folder by confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. As you're able, please stand.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing our hymn, Give Thanks, with a grateful heart. Please be seated. Greatly are you, O Lord. Great are you, O Lord.
and greatly to be praised. You rule the earth, the sea, and the sky. We give you thanks for the blessings of creation and the life that comes from your abundant goodness. Give to your church boldness to speak of your awesome deeds and sing always of your righteousness. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious God, you are able to do far more than all we ask or think. Ground us in love. Give us a faith rooted in the promises of Jesus Christ. And give us strength to comprehend his love. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, as you preserved Noah and his family and brought forth new life from the ark under the promise of your covenant, bless now our families also. Make marriages strong and fruitful according to your will. Let your word rule in every home, uniting its members in forgiveness and causing your Son to dwell in every heart through faith. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, give blessing to our nation and its leaders to rule according to your just will. We especially ask you to watch over and guide Joseph J. and all who serve for our well-being. Be with and protect our armed forces and all public service. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, through your Son and his reconciling death, we receive all good gifts, healing, and sustenance. We bring before you the sick and those in need, especially Wayne, Sandra, Pastor Flat, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Mel, Thurza, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, Esther, and Samantha. Give them healing and protection and encourage them in the midst of this life by the recognition of your fatherly providence known in Jesus Christ. Allow us to continue and share that encouragement with those who are unable to gather with us, especially Santa, Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thurza, Jim, and Alex. Lord, we also lift up in prayer the family and friends of Arvid's greeting. Lord, be with his friends and family, encourage them, and give them the assurance of the resurrection of all who live in Jesus Christ. Keep us in the true faith that you are who you say you are, and trusting in your word that you will come again, and we will all be with you in that heavenly place. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Loving Father, give us understanding and courage to sustain us. Lead us to your blessed table with your repentance and faith, that eating your true body and drinking your true blood, we may receive forgiveness and confidence in Jesus Christ. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, out of love for his fallen creation, humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and gives us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Disciples saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. And in the same way also he took the cup after supper, And after he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant shed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in the remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, and given us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember to confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Please be seated. As we've been mentioned before, we're doing communions differently, so we'll be excusing people up and coming to the altar. We'll be spreading out still a little bit, so keeping that separation, but of course family groups are together. And then also, we're not singing the first hymn of our distribution hymns, doing the second two. So, just a reminder of that. Welcome to the Lord's table.
Thank you.
preserve you in body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen.
Thank you.
I might as well take out the announcements within our bulletin here, and for a few things I just wanted to point out.